Good morning, church. It's almost the afternoon. That's kind of funny. If you're worried about us running late this morning, I'm not going to be preaching for an hour, so don't worry about that. We won't be running too behind. If we haven't met before, my name's Mike Judge. I'm the discipleship pastor. I oversee a lot of our adult ministries here at the church. And so I get the privilege of getting to preach with you, preach to you all this morning from God's word, and I'm really looking forward to it. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever tried to build something from scratch before without any instruction? Has anybody ever done that before? Yeah. How did that go? Sometimes good, right? Sometimes you pull it together, maybe the handy people in the room. But sometimes those projects don't always go so well. Sometimes they just kind of flop. Today we're going to be talking about building. And so what I want to do is I want to begin by sharing with you an excellent example from history of a building project that didn't turn out as the builders hoped. It's called the Tacoma Narrows Bridge. Has anybody heard about this bridge before? Some know it better as Galloping Gertie. You'll understand that in just a second. But it was built in 1940, and we can just say that there was some problems with the bridge. And so I have like a 2-minute video. It's pretty interesting. I think it's maybe a little humorous too. Feel free to watch it with me.
Dawn of a fatal day, and the wind begins to speak with a roar that no man can fail to hear. In a 40-mile-an-hour gale, the center span weaves like a ribbon in a swinging twist that you wouldn't believe possible unless you could see it as you do now. There's an automobile caught on the heaving roadway. The 11,000-ton center span twists and strains the giant cables that support it. Cables of 6,300 wire strands, each 17 inches thick. Back out of the danger zone, all stricken spectators are driven to safety as the bridge gyrates like a nightmare high above the river, twisting, turning, curling. No structure of steel and concrete can stand such a strain. Steel girders buckle and giant cables snap like puny threads. There it goes! Are divided as to the cause of the disaster. Some claim it was the use of solid girders. Others differ. But whatever the reason, Tacoma will rebuild. This time a bridge that will not provide a super thrill in the news.
When you're watching the video, you almost like can't believe that that is concrete and steel and all those things that made that bridge. But it actually was that. And as I said, there were some problems with the bridge, right? And at the end of the day, I'm not a bridge engineer, but whoever designed it, when they were designing it, it seems clear that they forgot to account for the fact that there would be severe storms coming, like and how the bridge would be able to respond to it. And while the steel cables may have been strong enough to hold up the bridge at its like just normal conditions, when that weather came, you saw it, the thing just fell apart, and it was pretty crazy. And so that is the situation that we're looking at. And ultimately, we can see there from it that the foundation, the supports, were not strong enough to carry it. So why do I share this with you? Well, today, for the next 20 minutes, we're going to be talking about how it is that we build our lives. Because if we don't build correctly and wisely in our lives, things can end up going just like they did with the Tacoma Narrows Bridge, right? They can fall apart. And so we need a strong foundation if we're going to live unshakable, God-honoring lives. So why do I share this on Baptism Sunday? Well, as I was praying and asking the Lord, what should we talk about this morning? I thought it'd be appropriate as we had some new, maybe not new, but believers that are coming and they're saying, you know what, I want to live my life for the Lord. Maybe it'd be good for us as a church to revisit what it looks like to have a foundation built on God and God alone. So that's where we're going this morning. And we're going to be doing that by talking about the parable of the two builders found in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. So feel free to, if you'd like to, open there in your Bibles. You follow along. And as we're opening up, I'll just give you a little background. Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount. This is a huge sermon. There's tons of people there. He was preaching on a hillside or maybe a small mountain, and there's just people all around him listening to what he's saying. And Jesus gives this big, big sermon talking about all sorts of practical life issues, talking about anxiety, being lights in the world, sexual sin, forgiveness, loving others. He gives all these topics and more, and then he comes to his final closing thoughts. This is his wrap-up of the Sermon on the Mount. That's what we're going to be reading. And his final challenge is to talk about the two different ways that we can respond to his instructions. And so why don't you read with me Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. I'll read it out loud. Jesus says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Now, some of you this morning are having this thing in your heart or your brain where you're thinking, "All right, Mike, I've been around church for more than a couple minutes. I've heard this parable before. I know the teaching. I understand what its application is for my life." And I just want us to, as a church right now, just to take a moment and just do this thing where we acknowledge that God's word is living and active. And even if you've heard this story 100 times, there is still truth for us today. And I think God wants to meet with us as we look at it, all right? And maybe this is your first time. And if it is, I'm really excited to walk through it with you, the parable of the two builders. And so Jesus tells us a story about two different men who build houses. And while they're similar in function, what is the main difference between the two houses?
Foundation.
That's my impression. It's foundation, right? The rock, that one is built on the rock and one is built on the sand. And for us to fully understand this, like what the picture is that Jesus is describing, we need a little bit of context, okay? So near the Sea of Galilee, there was this environment, the situation where the sand would actually get hard enough at certain times of the year where you could actually build a house on top of it. Now, I don't know how big of a house this is, but you could build a structure on top of the sand. However, the seasons would change, and the winds and the floods and the rains would spike up and wash that sand around. And so the builders really had two options when it came to house building in this region. They could, A, build on the sand, or they could dig below the sand and they could get to the bedrock and they could build a house on that. And as we see in the parable, that might be the wiser of the two options. And so, like all of Jesus' parables, he's got some instruction in it for us, something that we need to learn. All of us are like the builders in this story, right? We are building our lives or our houses, so to speak. We're making decisions that are working towards something. We decide what's important to us, what we want to prioritize, how we spend our time, how we treat other people, where it is that we want to do those things. You know, the list goes on and on. We are each building our own houses. And when everything is going okay in life, the skies are clear, things are going well, etc., we might not be too worried about the foundation that our houses are built on. We might think, "Hey, it doesn't matter. My life seems to be going fine right now. There's nothing to worry about." But just like in the parable and in the Tacoma Narrows bridge situation, we all need to realize and remember this morning that there are storms that will inevitably come. There's no dodging it. If you live in this fallen, broken world, there will be storms that come, whether it's illness, whether it's things that aren't going well at work, maybe it's money struggle, maybe it's a faith struggle, maybe it's doubt, maybe it's questions to God about why things are happening or what's going on or how Christianity works or whatever it is, and we're just wrestling with that. Maybe it's difficulties in your marriage or in a relationship with someone else who's important to you. Maybe it's that there's someone in your life that used to be there and they're no longer there anymore, like a family member who passed away, or maybe there's some sort of tension or something happened in that support system, some close individual in you is just not there anymore, and you're like, "How do I even stand anymore?" There's all sorts of things in our lives that could happen to us, but we need to be aware that the storms will come. And so in summary of the kind of the picture that Jesus is painting for us, the four parts of the parable are the builder, which is each of us, the house, which is the lives that we are building, the storm, the trials, hardships, doubts, etc., and the rock and the sand, the foundation for our lives. And so in summary, Jesus is saying that the wise man is the man who chooses to build his house on the rock, so that when the storm comes, the house will be sturdy enough to endure it. And the foolish man is the man who builds on the sand, whose life falls apart when the storms come. Okay, so that's a picture of the parable. And so what I want to do for the rest of our time together is I want to paint for you a couple of pictures about what these different profiles look like, these two different types of builders. I want to walk through them together. And as we experience that and we're talking about it, I want us to all to do this thing in our hearts where we ask ourselves, am I that kind of builder? Does this person being described look like me? And I want us to really process and be honest with ourselves this morning. And that's kind of how we're going to spend the rest of our time. So what do these builders look like? Let's start with the foolish builder. That'll be our number one, the foolish builder. And I want to start with the foolish builder because I honestly think that that is our natural inclination. And I think it'll help set the stage well for the others. And so let's get back to verse 26. And let's see what Jesus says makes someone a foolish builder. On your outline, you can fill this in. It says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man. The foolish man hears Jesus' words and does not do them. You guys, this is a passage, this is a story about hearing and doing. By disregarding Jesus' words and teachings, the foolish man is by default making himself his own foundation. He's building his life on what makes the most sense for him, and we know that that is like building on the sand. And so just in context, Jesus is kind of saying at the end of his Sermon on the Mount, he's saying, look, everybody that's listening to me say these words, you have two choices today. You can, one, be wise and take the things that you're hearing and hearing me teach about, and you can apply them to your lives. Or two, you can be a fool and not care about the things you hear me teach on and just leave them aside. Those are your options. And while this might sound simple, I think it's something that we can really relate to, this struggle. How many of you have ever been given good instruction before and then didn't put it into practice? Every honest person in the room has probably been given good advice before, right? But didn't put it into practice at some point in our lives. And for me, I was just trying to think about, when is a time in my life where I did that? And the first story that came to mind was from my honeymoon. Great. Good way to start off marriage. I was excited to go, experience marriage and all that stuff, and just gotten married. I actually got married in Westgate Chapel several years ago, and we were living in Phoenix at the time, and so we got married here, and then we got on an airplane, flew back to Phoenix, and we're going to drive to Flagstaff for our honeymoon. And as we were on that airplane back, I started to get a fever, and I started to get nauseous, and I knew things weren't going well. And I was like, oh gosh, what is happening? The timing is awful. Hopefully it'll pass, you know, whatever. And by the time we ended up making it to Flagstaff, things were just getting worse and worse. And so we're there at our like honeymoon, the first night, this is great. And all of a sudden, this thing happens where my body just starts to break out in hives. I kid you not, it's a great honeymoon. And so I've never had hives before, and so I asked my wife, Danielle, what should I do? Like, what is, like, good advice for me? Because you've had hives before, I haven't. What should I do about this? And the time came, eventually, I was leaning on her, where I was like, okay, I got to take a shower at some point. And so she said, all right, Mike, this is very important. If you have hives, you're supposed to take a cold shower because your body doesn't like heat. And so if you take a hot shower, it's just going to make things a lot worse. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking about that. I'm like, man, cold shower right now does not sound good, you know? And so what do you think I do? I'm itchy, I'm uncomfortable, all these things. Well, you might think I take a hot shower, and some might argue that I did, but I probably took like a warm shower that was like edging on hot, okay? It wasn't quite like a normal shower, but it was pretty warm. And within minutes, my hives had gotten much, much worse. I mean, I'm talking like we left that and went to urgent care. That wasn't enough. We ended up driving to an ER. It was a great honeymoon story. And so for the next few weeks, even the story continues, we're you know, my body's recovering, got some meds, the hives are starting to dissipate, and it's like I still have that moment where taking a shower, and I'm like, okay, now what temperature do I want to set the water at, you know? And I always, without fault, I always was riding that line of how hot can I get the water, and my skin would just freak out, but it wasn't as bad as it was before, so I didn't care. But it was just like that thing where over and over again, I was just kind of pushing the envelope and trying to do things my way. I'm sure you guys can relate with this. Times in your life when you've heard something that you knew was true, you knew that it was wisdom, and you didn't want to listen, just like the foolish builder, right? Things that your parents told you, things that your pastor told you, things that your teacher or boss told you. The list goes on. And why didn't we do them? Because we didn't want to. We thought we'd rather live our lives the way we want to than live it the way that was wiser. Brothers and sisters, Jesus, when he gives us advice and when he gives us teaching, gives us words that we should always treasure and that we should always base our lives on. His words are always right. If we look back at the passage, the price for not making God's word the foundation of your lives is pretty significant, isn't it? In verse 27, Jesus wraps up by saying, "And it, the house, fell, and great was the fall of it." It was destroyed, right? It was worthless. It was serving no purpose long term. And I think Jesus is emphasizing the cost when we build our lives on the sand. Because the Bible says that the only things that are eternal are the things that we build on God is our foundation. And so, church, we are going to have a moment in our future when we go and we are judged and we meet with God face to face, and he's going to ask us how we spend our lives. And only the things that were built on the rock are going to be the things that last. There's no lasting significance for anything else that we build for any other reason. It doesn't matter how good it seems. People might think, you know, try to convince themselves that this is a good idea. They might think, you know, this is promising. Other people are building on the sand. I should build there too. It's normal. It's what I want to do. And so they spend all this time and energy building into whatever it is that they're aiming for in life, success, their career, a family, whatever it is. And nothing, because they haven't made God a part of it, is eternally significant because of that piece, guys, because they built it on the sand. If you're struggling to determine whether or not you have areas in your life where you are acting as the foolish builder, just ask yourself right now, how do I hold up in the storm? Do you get filled with anxiety? Do you begin to shut down? Do you become afraid? Do you begin to turn your back on God and your faith? Do you become less loving towards others? Be honest with yourself. How do you respond in the storm? All those things are indicators to us that our foundation is wrong, because when we are grounded on the Lord, we can have unshakable faith where we do not waver in any regard because of who God is. And so now with all this in mind, I want us to all ask ourselves this morning, does this description, this profile, does this sound like me? Does this describe the way that I'm living my life right now? Am I living like the foolish builder? Let's look at the next builder. And that builder is the wise builder. And Jesus describes this builder in verse 24. He says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man." The wise builder hears Jesus' words and he puts them into practice. And by putting his words and teachings into practice, he is by default making God his foundation. As I was preparing for this message, I asked myself, who is a good example that I can share with the church this morning of a wise builder? Like, who did this well? And the person who came to mind first was a guy named Daniel from the Old Testament. Daniel grew up in Judah. He learned the ways of the Lord. He heard the stories of the nation of Israel. He heard the stories of God's faithfulness and God's promises. But eventually, one day, he was taken prisoner by King Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And he was taken there. And Daniel's faith was put to test over and over and over again. It started out very quickly. He was commanded by his overseer to break his dietary restrictions that God had commanded him to follow. But rather than take the easy way out, what did Daniel do? He refused. He said, "You know what? I believe my God's going to provide, and I do not want to dishonor him with my actions. I believe in him." And so he did refuse, and ultimately the Lord provided for him through that situation, and he was able to overcome it. Eventually, Daniel got promoted in leadership, and over again this took place, and over again, Daniel's faith was tested time and time again. He had these situations came up where he'd be in the room in the presence of the king, and the king is asking him for his opinions, and he has this choice to say, you know, am I going to try to tailor my thoughts and my beliefs about what's going on to the king's ears, or am I going to do what is right and what my conviction is saying is true? Am I going to hold fast to my faith in the Lord and trust in him in these circumstances? And time after time, Daniel said, yes, I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to speak his words, and I'm going to live this out. And time again, the Lord provided. Eventually, King Darius put a ban on worshiping any god or man other than him for 30 days. And anyone who defied this command would be thrown into a den of lions. Most of us would have been terrified, right? I mean, just picture that for a second. Anybody who's worshiping anybody other than Darius for 30 days, I would be freaking out, right? And we'd be thinking things like, you know what? I can just skip quiet times for 30 days. Maybe you're thinking, I already did that last month, you know? Like, quiet time skip for 30 days, I can handle that. That's okay, not a big deal. I don't want to go in the lion's den, whatever. But you know what Daniel does in the context of this? He goes home and he prayed, just like he always did. Because he knew that being faithful to God was the most important thing. And he knew that his God would provide for him if it was his will. And guess what? God provided again. Truly, Daniel is a great picture of a man who made God his foundation. He wasn't a perfect man. I'm sure he had mistakes. I'm sure he wasn't like this 24/7 perfect guy. But time and time again, when it mattered the most, he stood strong. And as the storms in his life came, he never fell over, right? Because he was grounded in the Lord. Church, this is what God is calling us to. To not just hear his instructions and then do our own things, but to live our lives fully dependent on God. And as we see in Daniel's story, when we do that, God shows up and blesses us with lasting fruit. He allows us to be a part of his plan of bringing light into this world. So let me ask you this morning. If someone were talking about the way that you live your life, could they compare you to someone like Daniel? Someone who is rock solid in their faith. Someone who doesn't waver when the storm comes. Someone who is grounded on the word of God. Could someone describe you like that? Does this sound like you? Are you a wise builder? I don't know about you, but as I was working on my sermon, that was pretty challenging for me to digest. Because I think if we're being honest, we don't always live up to that picture. Now, some of you might have looked at your sermon notes and have begun to wonder, what's Mike doing? Because there's a third blank on his outline. Like, clearly, this is the parable of the two builders. And it wasn't actually a mistake. I believe there is a third category, perhaps, that Jesus alludes to in this parable, but we don't see it in Matthew's account. We see it in Luke's account. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Jesus, right before he begins his teaching on the parable, he adds an extra sentence in that Luke records. And what Jesus says is this. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" And I believe that who he's talking about is a group of people that I'm going to refer to today as the pretenders. The pretenders. These are the people who say that they're a Christian, but don't want to actually live their lives based on God's value system. These are the people who say that they're a Christian, but hardly ever make time to pray and study God's word. These are the people who might show up to church every once in a while and pretend like they're living good, God-honoring lives, but in reality, it's all just a show. And so on the surface, they're calling Jesus Lord, but in reality, they're not putting his words into practice in their lives. They're pretending that they've built their houses on the rock, but in reality, they've built their houses in the sand. And what's so tragic about the pretenders is that many of them may actually believe that they're doing okay. They might actually have convinced themselves that they've built their house on the rock. They think that they're all set, or at least that there's nothing to worry about. For many pretenders, they've reduced their relationship with the Lord down to a to-do list, where if they do a few basic things, pray before dinner, attend church once a month, whatever, then they're good, right? But what do you think happens when the storms in their life really get going? It's devastating. Because here they are, lying to themselves, thinking that they have a strong bedrock foundation in the Lord, but really they've been living their lives built on the sand this whole time, and the storm comes, and they just fall apart. Some of us have gotten so good at putting on our Sunday selves. We walk in the church, we walk in a Bible study, we walk in, we're around these people, and we just put on this mask, and we say, you know what? Life's good. I'm good. Things are fine. And if you're here this morning, and that might be something that describes you, I just want us to just think about if you fall into this category or not. Maybe you're not taking your faith seriously. Maybe you have a secret side of your life that you haven't brought into the light yet. Maybe you know all the right things to do in your life, but you just don't care enough to do them. Maybe your faith is more like a to-do list and less like a relationship with your Heavenly Father. And so right now, I just want us all to take a second and consider the question, am I a pretender? I'll wrap up with this. Early in our service, a few courageous brothers and sisters made a declaration in their faith to live new lives in Jesus Christ, to experience that. And they said, you know what? I'm going to put my foot down and I'm going to live my life for Jesus Christ. They made a commitment to him. And right now, church, we have a similar opportunity to commit our lives to him, to be wise builders, to be both hearers of the word and doers of the word also, to build our lives on God and God alone. And that is the life that he has called us to, and that is the life that we should aim for. And so, church, consider, what kind of builder are you? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for this word. Lord, I thank you so much for the truth of the scriptures, Lord. And I thank you that you've given us, in conclusion of your Sermon on the Mount, you gave us this challenge. Lord, how are we building our lives? And Lord, right now, if there's people in the room right now who are struggling to answer that question, maybe the answer for them is something that they're not proud of, Father. Lord, I pray that you'd give them courage and confidence, Lord, because you are a God who's going to stand by them and you're going to help them through this, Lord. But Lord, the first thing that we need to do is we need to come on our knees and we need to apologize, Lord. We need to come to you and we need to say, Lord, I want to build my life on you. Maybe I've been building in another direction. Maybe I've been living on the sand. But today, Lord, I want to build on the rock in a certain part of our lives or in the whole part of our lives in general. Father, right now, as we come into this song, Lord, I just pray that you would just continue to do work in our hearts, Lord, that we'd lean into you and that we wouldn't leave the room today without asking the question, what kind of builder am I? We love you. Yes, it's in your name. Amen.